Welcome back, listeners. Ready to dive deep into some more fascinating stuff? Today, we're cracking open the first chapter of a work exploring Joseph Campbell's ideas, and trust me, it's going to get really interesting.
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing, isn't it, how these ancient myths, you know, stories from way back when can actually, kind of act like a mirror.
A mirror.
Yeah, like reflecting our own psychology, you know, our deepest fears, desires, those big questions about what it means to be human.
Right, right. Okay, so before we go full on mystical quest here,
yeah,
can we maybe back up a bit? I think it'd be helpful to like define what exactly we mean by myth.
You're right. We should probably start there.
Because I feel like, you know, a lot of times people just think of them as made up stories. Fairy tales, basically.
Yeah, I get that. It's a common misconception, though. Myths are so much deeper than simple entertainment. I like to think of them as, like, blueprints.
Blueprints. Like for building something?
Well, sort of. Blueprints for understanding the world, you know, passed down through generations, shaping our beliefs, values, the whole cultural shebang.
Okay, so not history books, not science textbooks. More like a way to grapple with the really big existential stuff.
Exactly. Think about creation myths, for example. I mean, you've got all these different cultures with wildly different stories explaining how the universe began. Cosmic eggs, powerful deities.
Right. It's almost overwhelming how many variations there are.
It is. But they're all grappling with that same fundamental question, aren't they? Where do we come from? What's it all about? I mean, that's universal.
And what about those recurring themes we see in myths across different cultures?
Oh, you mean like the hero's journey?
Yeah, exactly. Is that just a coincidence? Or is there something more going on there?
Not a coincidence at all. That's a perfect example of what Campbell called a monomyth, a kind of universal story template. And that hero's journey, that thread that runs through so many myths, the call to adventure, the challenges, the triumphant return.
Right, the classic hero's journey.
It resonates, don't you think? Because it reflects our own experiences, you know? We all face challenges. We all strive for growth. It's like a blueprint for personal development encoded in these ancient stories.
So are you saying that even like starting a new job or overcoming some personal obstacle, that could be seen as a mini hero's journey?
Absolutely. Campbell believed that, and I think he's onto something. By understanding these mythic archetypes, we can maybe, you know, navigate our own lives a little better, find strength and meaning in the everyday struggles.
So it's like, myths are a secret guidebook passed down through the ages.
Uh-huh. I like that. A secret guidebook.
And speaking of secrets, I've heard that, like, understanding myths can also provide insights into our psychology, into how our minds work. Is that something Campbell explored?
Oh, big time. He was fascinated by that stuff. He drew a lot on the work of Carl Jung, you know, the whole concept of the collective unconscious.
Oh, yeah, the collective unconscious. That sounds pretty intense. What does that even mean?
Well, think of it as like this deep reservoir of shared human experiences, archetypes, patterns that we all tap into, almost like a universal library.
A universal library. Okay, I think I'm following. So myths are expressions of these archetypes, giving us a glimpse into the workings of the human mind.
Exactly. And by exploring these archetypes, you know, the hero, the shadow, the wise old man or woman, we gain a deeper understanding of ourselves and the forces that shape us, you know, our thoughts, emotions, behaviors.
Yeah, you're saying myths can actually help us confront our inner monsters, those parts of ourselves we might not like to acknowledge.
Yes. Think about the shadow archetype. Myths often show it as this dark figure representing our repressed desires, our fears. And by confronting that shadow, both in the stories and within ourselves, we can maybe integrate those aspects of ourselves, achieve a greater sense of wholeness.
That's a really powerful idea. But doesn't that kind of blur the lines between psychology and spirituality?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't myths often connected to religious beliefs and practices?
That's a great observation. And yeah, you're right. Campbell definitely saw a strong connection between mythology and spirituality. He believed that myths, they offer this like framework for understanding where we fit in, you know, in the cosmos, our relationship to the divine, that kind of thing. The ultimate meaning of life.
Mm.
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's not just about analyzing symbols or the psychology, but recognizing that these stories can have like genuine spiritual significance for people.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. Many ancient cultures used myths to explain, like, the natural world, why seasons change, the cycle of life and death.
Right, right. It's like their science, their way of explaining the world around them.
Exactly. And these explanations were often totally tied up with their beliefs about gods and goddesses, rituals, moral codes, the whole nine yards.
So in a way, myths helped people make sense of things they couldn't control. find order in all the chaos.
You got it. It was a way to cope with the mysteries of life, death,
yeah.
all those big, scary forces of nature. And even today, you see how those themes, transformation, rebirth, connecting to something bigger, they still resonate in modern spirituality.
That's fascinating. But I'm also curious about, you know, the flip side of that. You mentioned earlier how myths shape cultural values,
mm-hmm.
but couldn't they also be used to, like, justify negative stuff? Bad behavior, even.
Oh, that's a really important point. And yeah, absolutely. While myths can inspire positive values, courage, compassion, selflessness, all that good stuff, they can also be, well, kind of twisted, you know?
Twisted.
Yeah, like distorted or manipulated to reinforce negative societal norms. It's like anything powerful, it can be misused.
So it's not just about blindly accepting whatever stories we inherit. We have a responsibility to, like, critically examine the values they're promoting.
You hit the nail on the head. Think about myths that, say, perpetuate stereotypes about gender roles or social hierarchies, stuff like that. If we don't question those narratives, they can contribute to prejudice and inequality. We got to remember, myths are a reflection of the societies that created them, warts and all.
So how can we be more, I don't know, discerning, especially in today's world where we're bombarded with stories constantly?
That's the million-dollar question. I think a big part of it is developing critical thinking skills. When you encounter a myth, any story really, ask yourself, what values are being pushed here? Whose interests are being served? Are there other ways to interpret this, to challenge the dominant narrative?
So it's about actively engaging, not just passively consuming.
Exactly. And it's also about recognizing that myths, they're not like set in stone. They can evolve, you know? We can reinterpret them, reimagine them to align with our evolving values. We have the power to challenge those harmful narratives and to create new stories that promote justice, equality, compassion.
That's pretty empowering.
Yeah.
But let's circle back to Campbell for a sec. He wrote a ton about the hero's journey, right? Did he have anything to say about how that archetype shows up in our modern world?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Campbell believed the hero's journey wasn't just some ancient relic. It's a living pattern, something that still plays out in our lives, both individually and as a society.
Can you give an example? Like, how would the hero's journey apply to, I don't know, something happening right now?
Okay, think about social justice movements. Those activists fighting for equality, challenging systems of oppression, putting themselves on the line for what they believe in. They're embodying the hero's journey in action.
Whoa, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
So their call to adventure might be witnessing injustice, their trials are the challenges they face in their activism, and their ultimate, what was it called?
The boon.
Right, the boon. That would be like achieving a more just and equitable society.
Exactly. And just like those mythic heroes, these real life folks, they face setbacks, betrayals, doubt, all of that. But their commitment to the cause, their willingness to sacrifice, their belief that things can change, that's what makes them truly heroic.
That's a powerful way to think about it.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say there's a danger in, like, romanticizing the hero's journey? I mean, in real life, sometimes there are no clear-cut victories, right?
You're so right. It's important to remember that real-life struggles are messy, complicated. Not every challenge ends with a triumphant parade. Sometimes the journey itself, that process of growth and transformation, that's the real reward.
So it's more about the inner transformation than the external outcome.
Exactly. And that's something Campbell really emphasized. He saw the hero's journey as ultimately a journey of self-discovery, confronting our shadows, overcoming limitations, integrating those experiences into a more, you know, whole and authentic self.
So it's not just about slaying dragons and rescuing damsels in distress. It's about those inner demons, those personal challenges that hold us back from becoming who we truly are.
Right on. And those inner demons, they often show up in our relationships with others too. Campbell believed myths could teach us a lot about human connection, love, betrayal, loss, reconciliation. These themes are all over mythologies across cultures.
Now that you mention it, it's amazing how those themes, love, loss, they're so universal. They transcend time and culture, right?
Absolutely. I mean, take the Greek myth of Orpheus and Eurydice, that story of love, loss, the journey to the underworld. It still resonates with us today because it taps into something deep within us, our fears, our longings.
It's like those myths give us a language for emotions that are sometimes hard to express.
That's it. They give us a way to understand the complexities of human relationships, those challenges of navigating love, loss, grief. It's all there in the stories.
This has been so eye-opening. I feel like I'm seeing myths in a whole new light.
I'm glad to hear that. Remember, myths aren't just stories from the past. They're living narratives that offer these profound insights into what it means to be human. By engaging with them, we can learn so much about ourselves, our relationships, our place in the world.
So where do we go from here? How do we apply all this wisdom to our own lives?
That's the question, isn't it? And it's one that Campbell really wanted us to grapple with.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Joseph Campbell, what's like the key takeaway? What can our listeners really hold on to?
Well, one of Campbell's most famous lines is, "Follow your bliss." Sounds kind of cheesy, maybe, but it gets at something really important, I think.
So not just, you know, understanding the hero's journey in our heads, but actually living it, going after what we're passionate about, finding fulfillment.
Exactly. He believed that when we align ourselves with our true passions, the things that light us up, there's this powerful energy that gets unleashed. It fuels growth, leads to a more meaningful life.
Okay, but isn't that a little, I don't know, simplistic? Like, not everyone can just quit their jobs and go chase their dreams,
right? True. It's not always easy or straightforward, but it's about finding ways to bring that passion, that sense of purpose into our lives, even in small ways.
So like even picking up a creative hobby, spending more time in nature, finding ways to help our communities. All that counts.
Absolutely. Being mindful of what brings us joy, making choices that reflect those values.
This has been amazing. I feel like I'm walking away with a totally different understanding of these stories and how they connect to my life.
I'm so glad to hear that. And remember, myths, they're not just ancient relics. They're alive, you know, full of wisdom and insights that are just as relevant today as they were centuries ago.
So to all our listeners out there, as you go about your day, think about those myths we talked about, the hero's journey, those shadow selves we all have, that call to follow your bliss. It's amazing how these ancient stories can, you know, shine a light on our own paths, maybe even inspire us to live a little more fully. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.